can't even walk.
He says, you'll have to get somebody else. Jackie heard that. Mrs. Miller, I could go. I really could. I could do it. Oh, no, child. She said, if something should happen to you, I'd never forgive myself. I've been practicing, really. Juby came up and said, I saw him. He's been practicing, Mommy. He can really do it. Oh, I just can't. Elmer, please let me do it. I can do it. You know I can. Didn't I show you exactly what you're supposed to do? Jackie, replied Elmer, I think you could do it except for the rapids. He says, remember, he says, you have to guide it through because it starts swaying back and forth and you know, have to know just what to do with the tiller stick. Yes, but you told me over and over. He says, I know it, I know it. He says, please. Elmer looked at his mother. You think he could do it, Mom? He said, oh, I don't know. I can do it. Well, all right, Jackie, all right. But you will be careful. I'll be careful. I'll be following right behind Elmer. So it was decided that Jackie would take the load of logs down on the raft himself. Elmer's raft went out and slowly drifted out midstream. Now Jackie's heart really began to pound because this was his own ship, his own raft, that he was going to take down the river with Ritzy. He says, come on, Ritzy, get on board. Juby rushed up and grabbed him by the hand. He said, Jackie, you going to be careful? He said, when you go down through those rapids, he said, you going to be real careful? Jackie says, I'll be real careful. And he looked over at Ritzy and he said, you be careful too with your big snoot, okay? Ritzy just looked at him as if to say, my snoot isn't that big. Mrs. Miller packed the tears in her eyes. Now, you will be careful. I'll be careful. Everything will be just fine. He threw the provisions on and he said, I'll be following Elmer. She said, remember the signals. Elmer will be yelling back to you. He says, when it's a curve or the rapids. He says, I know, I know, I know. And slowly Jackie's raft was pushed into the water and he was floating out into the middle of the river. And as he got to the middle of the river, it got swifter and swifter. But finally he managed to handle the tiller quite well. In fact, he tied it to a rope because there wasn't much to do. And he would sit down and watch the shore. Ritzy would sniff the air and way downstream, he could see Elmer. And every so often Elmer says, how you doing, Jackie? And Jackie'd yell, okay. And finally, when the bend came around, when they came around the bend, it was always the policy of the first person, like Mrs. Martin, Mr. Martin, who would always yell, around the bend we go. And then the next one, around the bend we go. And then finally Elmer would hear it and he'd yell back, around the bend we go. And Jackie would yell back to the next one, the same thing. And finally everybody down up and down the river would know what's coming up. But the thing that Jackie dreaded most is when somebody would yell, or he would hear Elmer yell, rapids ahead. But he didn't worry about that this time because they had a long way to go. But by late afternoon, Jackie looked at the sun and Elmer told him about 3 o'clock in the afternoon they would probably be heading for the rapids. He could tell by looking at the sun it was getting close. He could tell by the water it was swifter. There were white caps. It was gushing. And he knew they were slowly getting near the rapids. And no sooner had he figured out that they were getting close, he could hear way down the river, rapids ahead, rapids ahead. And then he heard Elmer, rapids ahead. Jackie's heart began to pound and he turned back, rapids ahead. He jumped up and grabbed the tiller. He says, all right, Ritzy, this is it. This is the test. He says, remember what Elmer told me. He says, if it sways to the right, you turn the tiller to the left. He said, but don't get it going too much because it'll start bouncing. And if it starts bouncing back and forth, it starts hitting the rocks. And if it starts hitting the rocks, he said, it could break the ropes and we could, the logs will go everywhere. And he says, we could be killed. Ritzy stuck his head down as if to say, well, that's not nice. He said, but I'll get you through, Ritzy. He said, I'll get you through. And finally he heard Elmer yell again, "At the rapids! At the rapids!" And finally, way down the river, he saw where the river came narrower between two huge walls, solid walls of rock, and the river gushed through them, and he saw Elmer disappear. He felt the raft beneath his feet going faster and faster. He felt it swaying back and forth as he approached the narrow walls and the water gushing all over the place. He grabbed the tiller with both hands, stood with his feet apart and braced himself, and now he was entering the rapids. He was doing real well. About halfway through, he heard a thump, and he'd push it the other way, and then he heard a thump on the other side, and then a thump over here and a thump over there, and he realized he wasn't doing it. He was letting it get away. And finally, Ritzy looked frightened, and as it was thumping against one side and then the other, he looked towards the back and he saw one of the ropes, the strands, slowly unbraiding and breaking. And he knew that sooner or later, if he didn't get out of the rapids fast, the entire raft would fly up like an explosion. Jackie was taking the raft down the river, and he had just entered the rapids, but he tried to remember everything that Elmer told him, that tilt the tiller lightly, don't go too fast because he'll start swinging it. Well, in the excitement, Jackie forgot, and he did tilt it to one side, and once he got the raft swinging, it began to bounce against one side, bounce against the other side, and he tried his best to straighten it out. And as he looked back, he saw the strands of rope slowly breaking, strand by strand. He looked at Ritzy. Ritzy had a sense of fear also. He knew that something wasn't just right. He says, "Ritzy," he says, "we're in trouble." He says, "We may not get through this." As he looked down, he saw he had at least 50 more yards through the rapids, because down, as far as he could see, the river spread out and the water was much calmer. But he had to get through the next 50 yards. As he banged against one side and then the other, he was trying to control it, but instead of making it better, he was making it worse. And finally, the rope in the back broke and the logs began to spread out. And finally, as he looked down, he saw the front rope beginning to crack too. And all of a sudden, there was a terrific explosion and the logs shot straight in the air, water sprayed all over. And as Elmer looked back towards the sides of the mountain where the water was gushing through, he saw the logs come out one by one, and he knew that Jackie had crashed in the rapids. He quickly took his raft to the shore, tied it up, and started running upstream, looking out across the water. "Jackie! Jackie!" There was no sign of him, and he knew that probably one of the logs had smashed Jackie, and that he's probably floated downstream. He was ready to turn back when he looked out across the water and he saw a head sticking up, and he recognized Ritzy. He says, "Ritzy!" And he took off his boots quickly and he jumped into the water. He says, "Ritzy!" Ritzy began barking and barking. And Elmer looked around and all of a sudden he saw a log, and Ritzy was swimming towards the log. He says, "What's wrong, Ritzy?" Ritzy kept barking and swimming towards the log. Elmer went out after him, and finally when he got close enough, he noticed that there was somebody hanging on the log. Elmer grabbed the log and began to paddle it to shore, and when he got to shore, he realized it was Jackie hanging over the log. He took him on shore and began to give him artificial respiration. He worked and worked and worked, and he was almost ready to give up, thinking that Jackie had drowned because he must have been hit. And all of a sudden he heard, "Oh." He says, "Jackie?" Jackie slowly opened his eyes. He says, "What happened?" Elmer says, "Nothing, it's fine." He said, "Everything's all right." He says, "You had a little trouble, but it's all right. The logs, where are they?" "The logs are fine. Are you all right, Jackie?" He began to feel his legs, and he was badly bruised. He was bleeding here and there, but it didn't seem like he had any broken bones anywhere. Elmer smiled. He said, "I think you're all right, Jackie, aren't you?" "Oh, I think so. I feel hurt all over. He said, but your dad's going to be awful mad at me for losing the logs. Jackie, the logs will be all right, replied Elmer. When they get to the sawmill, he said, there are men there who catch loose logs, and they'll know they belong to us. We'll tell them when we get there. The main thing that you're all right. He says, come on. He says, I have my raft downstream. They got on the raft, and Jackie lay down because he did hurt. And Elmer took care of his bruises and the few spots that were bleeding. Ritzy evidently escaped with only a minor scratch here and there. In the evening, Mr. Martin pulled into shore because they were going to camp on shore that evening. And as they were pulling into camp for the night, he noticed logs floating by. And one of the men says, Mr. Martin, Mr. Martin. He says, somebody crashed in the rapids. It must have been Elmer, because he didn't know Jackie was taking the logs. Some of the men rushed up to Mr. Martin. He says, you want us to go look for Elmer? He says, no, I can do that. He said, take care of the camp. Mr. Martin started upstream, looking out across the river, trying to find some place where he might see Elmer swimming or floating or something. And all of a sudden, he saw a raft coming down. And the closer it got, he finally shouted, Elmer, is that you? He says, yeah, Dad, over here. And he finally pulled into shore. Mr. Martin rushed up. He says, Elmer, are you all right? He said, I'm all right. He looked down. He says, Jackie, he says, are you two all right? He said, oh, I think so. He said, what about the logs? It was Jackie's raft. Jackie's raft. Elmer, who told you that Jackie should... It's my fault, Mr. Martin. He said, I insisted. He said, one of the men broke his leg or hurt his leg badly, and you needed somebody to take the logs down. And I'm sorry. He says, I'll pay for all the logs. He said, you don't need to pay for the logs. They'll be taken care of. He says, but you could have been killed. He said, well, I'm not. Elmer said, well, it's my fault, Dad. And Mom gave him permission, too, finally. Well, that's all water under the bridge. Jackie laughed. He said, you mean that's water down the river? He says, come on, camp's ready. He says, you better get dry. So when they got to camp, Jackie and Elmer told their story about hitting the rapids. Elmer got dry, and they cooked supper, and they sat around the fire that evening talking. And always Jackie would tell Mr. Martin or ask Mr. Martin, he says, are you sure that you talked to someone that knew Jake Anderson? I told you everything I knew, Jackie, everything I know. He said, when we get there, he said, I'll get the log straightened out and you can go downtown and find out from the storekeeper or the blacksmith or somebody. They'll know where he lives. So the next morning when they got on the logs, they were to get to River City by noon, which they did. And this was an exciting time, a time for Jackie as they started to roll the logs into the sawmill. The men had collected the logs that went downstream, so Mr. Martin lost no logs. He went up to the office to get straightened out and paid for his logs. Jackie said, well, I'm going to go down, see if I can find out about my uncle. Elmer says, I'll go with you. So they left. Mr. Martin yelled, he said, we'll meet you downtown, he said, in front of the general store. All right, Dad. They went downtown. Jackie went into the grocery store. Elmer started looking at some new saddles in the window across the street. He said, I'll wait for you out here, Jackie. Jackie went into the store. There was an elderly gentleman with glasses on, looked up. Yes, boy, what can I do for you? He said, I was wondering if you knew where Jake Anderson lives. The man's glasses almost fell off his nose. What? He said, Jake, I want to know where Jake Anderson lives. He says, what do you want with him? He says, nothing. He says, well, that's the best idea you have yet. You better have nothing with him. Jake said, well, I wanted to go out and see him. He says, boy, I don't know what you want with him. Just let me give you some advice. He says, the farther away you stay away from that place, the better off you are. They said, but my name is Jackie Anderson. I said, I don't care what your name. Jackie who? Jackie Anderson. If it's the right man, he says, I'm his nephew. Well, my advice still goes. He said, if I were you, young man, he said, I'd go back right where you came from right now. I said, well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to see him. He said, would you like to tell me where he lives? No, I wouldn't like to tell you, but I will, I guess, since you're his nephew. He says, it's 2 miles north and a mile east. He said, you can't miss it. Thank you, thank you. Come on, Ritzy. They darted across the street. I know where he lives, Elmer. I know where he lives. He says, 2 miles north and then east. He says, I'm going to go out there now. Well, wait a minute, Jackie. No, I'm going to go now. He said, I can get out there and back before evening. He said, he may want you to stay for the evening or night. Well, I'll see you in the morning then. He said, I'll meet you at the stables in the morning. All right, Jackie. He says, but come back. He said, I will. He said, come on, Ritzy. And Ritzy and Jackie start running out towards the north road. And as they were walking fast, Jackie didn't even notice that the clouds were beginning to gather. It looked like it may be a little bit of rain in the air. And as he headed, it was getting later in the evening. It was getting a little darker. And as he was walking very rapidly, once in a while they'd run, he noticed that the sky was now overcast. And in fact, there was a light drizzly rain falling. Jackie said, come on, Ritzy, we got to hurry up. He says, we'll get all wet. He says, come on, we turn here. He said, it must be right over that hill. Come on. He started to run. Here and there was a flash of lightning and then thunder, and the drops began to get bigger and bigger. Finally, in the distance, there was a crash of lightning and thunder, and he saw a huge house, a two-story house, with grass and weeds all around it. The shutters were hanging loose. It wasn't the kind of place he expected at all. And as he got closer, he opened the gate that squeaked, and it kind of was hanging on one side on the hinges. And all of a sudden, it got so much colder. As he stood on the porch, he felt the cold rain. And he looked at the door with a big brass knocker on it. He didn't know whether he should knock or not. All of a sudden, he knocked it 2 or 3 times and waited. I guess nobody's home, Ritzy. He said, we might as well go. And about that time, the door slowly opened. Yes? Yeah, good evening, sir. Ha, good evening. It's raining. I was wondering, sir, if you are looking for a place to stay for the night, I have no place for you or anybody else. Now, what do you want? Nothing, sir. We just stopped to get out of the rain. He said, a little rain won't hurt you. Be on your way, be on your way. Well, sir, I did want to talk to you. What for? What do you want to talk to me for? My name is, I don't care what your name is. He said, now be on with you. Yes, sir, but my name's Jackie Anderson. Now I said, get it. What? Jackie Anderson? Yes, sir. He says, you are my father's brother. Ah, yes, yes. Well, come in. And the dog stays out. Oh, sir, I couldn't stay out. I couldn't let the dog stay out because then I'll just stay out here, too. Yeah, very well. Says, come in. Jackie followed him down a hall into a huge living room where there was a fireplace and a fire burning with a great big divan in front of it. You better stand by the fireplace. You're dripping wet. Take your dog with you. Come on, Ritzy. He says, sit down. Well, now. Jackie Anderson, huh? Yes, sir. My father told me about you. What did he say? Well, nothing. He told you to come and see me and get my money, didn't he? Didn't he? No, sir. No, sir. I didn't even know you had money. Oh, yes, you do. Says, he probably told you, go get your uncle's money. No, sir. He said he didn't. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, we need something to take the chill out of the bones, don't we? Jackie said, yes, sir, it would help. His uncle went into the kitchen, and there was a big mirror on the side, and he could look into the mirror and see what his uncle was doing. And he poured 2 cups of tea. But as he started to pick them up, he reached up into the cupboard and took out a little white pill out of a jar and dropped it in one of the cups. Jackie saw it. He tried to remember. Now, that's backwards. Which cup is he going to give me? When he came out, he handed Jackie the cup with the pill in it. Well, now. He says, drink up, boy. Jackie looked down into the tea, stuck his tongue into it. There was a bitter taste to it. Well, boy, now drink your tea. Yes, sir, I really don't care much for tea. Oh, now, come on, warm your bones. Drink your tea. Jackie said, well, I really... He said, come on, boy, drink your tea! He yelled at Jackie to drink his tea, and Jackie says, yes, sir. And he knew he had to do something fast because he knew he didn't want to drink that tea. So he started to walk over towards the fireplace and put the cup down for just a second, little on the edge of the mantel, and it fell and broke. Jackie jumped back. He said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'll clean it up. Why, you... Oh, that's all right. He says, accidents will happen. Here, he says, I'll get a mop. He went to the kitchen, got a mop, and Jackie picked up the pieces. Said, I'll get you another cup. Jackie says, no, I really don't like tea. Thank you anyway. He says, I feel just fine. They sat down. He says, now, boy, tell me about yourself. He said, you'll have to excuse an old man. He said, I get excited and I yell at you, but tell me about yourself. Jackie told him about his mother and his father and about Mr. Gruber taking the farm. And finally, when he got all through telling his life story, his uncle says, well, and now you think you can come to your dear little old uncle and ask for money. Is that it? Jackie says, no, I'm not asking you for anything. I just thought that I'd like to see you since I don't have any other relative. Do you have any other relative? No, I don't, and I don't need any relative. I mean, you're my only relative. He says, boy, and there was a thunder and lightning again. The old man blinked his eyes. I have some papers upstairs. He says, would you do me the favor of going up the steps? You see, I don't get along around too well. And bring them down. Jack says, sure, I'll do that. I'll take the lamp. No lamp. No lamp. He said, you might drop it and catch the whole house on fire. He says, you'll see, you feel your way up. He says, it's the second door to your right. He said, as you open the door, you will feel a trunk. He says, you'll find the papers in there. But boy? Yes, sir, I'll be glad to, Uncle. The uncle smiled, but it was more of a sneer than a smile. You're a good boy, Jackie. He opened the door leading upstairs. There was a flash of lightning, and Jackie could see the stairs. As he started going up, he felt his way along the dusty rail, brushed away the cobwebs from his face. And finally, when it was lightning, he could see down the hall. He saw the second door. He opened it. It was pitch dark because the blinds were pulled. He felt an old trunk. It was covered with dust. He snapped one latch, and he was ready to unsnap the other one when he heard sort of a strange hissing sound. And he wondered, why would my uncle send me up here in the dark after something that I don't even really know what I'm after? he listened again, and he knew there was something, some strange sound coming out of the trunk. He quickly took the latch and snapped it shut again. He decided he would tell his uncle that he couldn't find it. Maybe in the daylight he could come up. He started down the steps. His uncle was near the fireplace. Jackie came almost halfway across the room before his uncle sensed somebody was there. He turned around. He said, "Boy, it's you." "Yes, sir." He says, I couldn't see. It was too dark. And he said, I could, when it gets daylight, I could do it." "Why, you stupid. What? All right, you have to excuse me. Sit down, boy, sit down." He said, "I get too excited about things." He says, when I issue an order, I like people to carry it out." "I'm sorry, sir, but if you want me to, I'll do it in the..." He said, "Well, of course, I won't be here in the morning." He says, "We'll be leaving, I guess." "Well, you will be leaving? Oh, nonsense. You are not going to leave." He says, "I have an extra bedroom, and it's raining out." He says, "You and your dog will be very comfortable in the room." He looked at Jackie, and he gave him a cold, creepy feeling. "I'd rather not stay," he says. "I have some friends waiting for me." "Of course you will stay. My only nephew and refuses my hospitality. Of course you'll stay." "Well, if you insist." Jackie had plans. He thought he'd crawl out the window just as soon as Uncle left, providing he wasn't upstairs, and run back into town. The uncle picked up the lamp. He says, "Come, follow me, Jackie. I'll show you to your room." He went down the hall. It was on the lower floor. The third door he opened. "Go on in." Jackie walked in, and it was a nice bedroom. Kind of dusty and musty smell about it. But he looked at the bed. It looked nice. He says, "I think you'll be quite comfortable here. Is there anything you would like," he says, "before you retire?" Jackie says, no. He says, "This will be just fine. Thank you. He says, "Well, pleasant dreams." "Yes, same to you. Good night, sir." And as his uncle closed the door, Jackie heard a click. And then he heard footsteps fading away. He rushed to the door, turned the knob. It was locked. Jackie looked at Ritzy. He says, "Ritzy," he says, "we're locked in." He says, "He thinks he's going to keep us here all night. Come on, let's go." He went to the window and pushed it up, pushed the blinds back, and he says, "Come on." And he realized there were bars on the window. Jackie grabbed him. He says, "There are bars on. We're locked in." And now he realized he had to stay whether he wanted to or not. Jackie looked at Ritzy. He says, "Ritzy," he says, "you keep your ears and eyes open." "Okay." Ritzy knew there was something wrong. Jackie took the pillows and put them under the cover so it looked like Jackie underneath, and covered the pillows up so he looked like his head was covered up. Ritzy kind of looked at him. That was kind of strange. And then he saw Jackie crawl under the bed. Jackie looked at Ritzy. He says, "You think I'm crazy, don't you?" He says, "Look, if something happens during the night, that's not me up there. I'm under the bed." Ritzy ragged his tail. He understood. Jackie says, "Well, this is the first time I slept under the bed when nobody's sleeping in the top of the bed, I'll say that." Jackie and Ritzy were under the bed, and every minute seemed like an hour until his eyelids got very heavy. He began to get drowsy. He tried to keep one eye open all the time, and then he'd close the other one and rest the other one. He decided he'd stay awake all night long. But far down the hall, he could hear the big grandfather clock striking 1, 2, up to 12, and Jackie knew it was midnight. It was still raining out. He was very, very sleepy. And all of a sudden, in the stillness between the thunder and the lightning, he heard soft footsteps outside the door. Jackie opened his eyes. He said, "Shh." He heard a click. the door slowly began to open. And as it opened, there was a streak of light, and he could see someone's feet. And he could see someone's hand hanging down beside him. And in his hand, there was a shiny object, like a long blade. He saw these feet coming closer and closer to the bed. And all of a sudden, he heard something plunge into the pillows. Jackie says, "Come on, Ritzy." He says, "Let's get out of here, fast."